Hi, my name is Kirsten, and I'm one of the pastors here at Living Waters. And as you probably know, today is Father's Day. And so we are here with one of our dads to just talk about what life is like as a dad. So this is Dan Donkers, and we're so glad that you are here with us today, Dan.
Thank you, yeah.
So Dan, can you tell us a little bit about what life is like for you these days? What you doing?
Carter, my son, and Tara, my wife, we started coming back to Living Waters about a year ago, and we live in Langley, down Langley City, and Carter's just finishing grade one. I work at the Gateway of Hope. I've been there 5 years, but more recently, I'm the chaplain, spiritual care coordinator. My wife works at Carter's school, which is pretty cool. She's an education assistant. So, yeah, and then, you know, we keep busy. Carter keeps us busy, loves to go out on his bike, play games outside, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
That's so good. We have a first grader at home too. So I probably know what your life is like.
Yeah.
Joy and Carter together.
Yes. Very
play,
busy.
To play. Yeah. So I hear that you also have had a dad in your life.
I do. I still have a dad. Yes. Yeah.
Tell me what you feel like you learned about from watching from receiving parenting from your dad.
Yeah. I learned a lot. I mean, narrow it down, my dad is a person of integrity. He is who he says he is. He always was. And so I really learned that, like, character matters. Keep your promises. Be who you say you're going to be. Do what you say you're going to do. And my dad was present. I mean, it's funny because when I was growing up, he was busy. He was in management in, like, food companies, and he would travel. But my memories are not him being gone. My memories are him playing baseball with us and being at the beach with us and things. He was present, and that's something that I really try to take into parenting Carter, is that I can't be home every night or every day, but when I'm home, I'm there. And that's something that my dad really did for us.
Yeah, that's so cool, because he was strategic. He was intentional how he was with you when he was there.
Absolutely.
That's so great. Tell me a little bit about your story of being a dad, becoming a dad.
Yeah, I mean, we have quite an interesting story, I guess. I think it's interesting, but we didn't think we would have kids. So Tara, has some medical things going on, and we actually even been to a clinic, and they said, you know, it's not impossible, but it's not likely. And at the time, I was pastoring, and we had experienced a loss, and I had the opportunity to preach on a Sunday morning. And I said, we had really wrestled with it and come to a place of peace. And I said, okay, if this is not for us, if God has a different plan, you know, we're going to be okay. And I kind of shared that with the church a little bit of God's grace in this journey. And quite a few people were thankful for that and shared their own stories. But quite a few people said, we're praying for you. We don't think this is over. And within a month or two, she was pregnant with Carter. And, it was just kind of crazy, you know, and Carter was born premature, but healthy. So he's in the hospital for a while. And so it was pretty cool to be able to go back on another Sunday morning. And actually, I believe Pastor Dave was there, right, with his role as district, involved in the dedication. And I received my ordination at the same time. So it was pretty exciting day.
That was an amazing day.
Yeah.
Wow. So, and I think there's just such an amazing sense when we have not thought that we become a parent, just the sense of that this is such a gift.
Absolutely. I mean, I think about that all the time, especially in the hard times. You know, I remind myself this is a gift, and it really is.
Tell us a little bit about the joys and the challenges of parenting for you as a dad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it is amazing. I mean, even just the other day, you know, Carter's been learning to ride a bike, right? Just these little things, and to see him succeed and to see him learn and do it by himself, and not, you know, I try to coach, but I'm not trying to do it for him, and he's succeeding. It's just, I celebrate those moments, right? And there are these little moments of just, you know, we're together on the couch and he just looks over and says, I love you. And I just think, oh, that's, you know, like, there's so much joy there. And, but, you know, there's also challenges. You know, Carter deals with a lot of big emotions. There's sensory issues that come up for him sometimes. He gets overwhelmed. So, you know, there's been a lot of times where I've had to be very patient. I always thought that I could just raise my voice and he'd listen. And that is not the case. And so I've had to learn how he operates, how he responds when it's time to discipline or when it's time to challenge his thinking. Sleeping was a challenge for us. So lots of nights on his floor. But, you know, again, even in those moments, I think this is a gift. He is a gift, you know, and it's doesn't make it easier sometimes, but it is, you know, I know that it's important. I know that it's worth it for him, and I want to do that. So, yeah, that's kind of, yeah, it's been a journey in those ways a lot of times, yeah.
So you're what, 7 years in? Seven?
Yeah, he's turning seven in a few weeks.
Okay, here, so, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So when you think about the last 7 years, what do you see, like, what formation do you see? Like, what has Jesus been doing in you through that process of being a parent?
I think the biggest thing is I thought I was a patient person, and then I had a child. And particularly a child who does get, yeah, it gets overwhelmed when, you know, had a hard, like the sleeping, the getting overwhelmed if he was feeling upset. And it has been a completely different level of patience. And that has been the biggest thing. And it's really impacted me in so many ways in my life. When I was younger, before I had Carter, I always saw myself as a very like energetic, you know, kind of person, lots of energy, kind of almost restless. And then around the time Carter was born and after, you know, as we began to deal with the challenges he faced, I realized that I'm very calm. And it was up to me, and God has been doing this in me, I think, bringing that out to be a source of peace for my family, right? To be a place of calm for my son and even my wife when things are kind of going haywire and things are going chaotic, that I need to be the one who doesn't panic. You know, I think of like, you know, Jesus calming the storm, right? In the Gospels, you know, it's kind of an interesting story because when the disciples wake him up, he's like, oh, okay, you know, and he speaks to the storm and he stays calm the whole time, right? And I think about that sometimes with us is like, when things are stormy for Carter, that I'm learning to stay calm. Right. I don't get up to his level. I stay calm and I ride out that storm with him, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. I can understand.
Yeah.
I've had to do that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just curious, like you work at the Gateway of Hope. Mm-hmm. And how has having Carter in your life and being a parent to him informed the way you love people at the Gateway of Hope?
Yeah. I think it's funny. There's been times I don't generally work downstairs in our shelter. I've been in the offices, but I have sometimes, and I've seen tantrums from people that reminded me of my at the time 2 or 3 year old, right? And it's just because people are in desperate situations, or maybe they've never been taught those skills, and so it was like, wow, this is like something very transferable for me. I can help deal with this person who's agitated and not lose my cool or not get overwhelmed, not be taken along the storm, you know? So that's been a huge thing for me. And now in my new role here, I deal with a lot of our transitional housing people. And I think just having a child of my own and learning, and I'm sure I'll continue learning this, but that difference between sort of telling and coaching, helping them learn for themselves. It's really equipped me in a lot of ways with the people that I'm serving now who are putting life back together. And I'm in a place where I can't always tell them what to do, but I can help them discover, right? I can help them see what they need to do next or what God may be doing in their lives in a way that's not just trying to tell them what to do, but I'm actually just helping them discover. And that's a lot of the approach I take with my son too, right? Is trying to like just help him discover what's right and lead in those ways, show him who God is, but not always telling him what to do next or how to do everything he's doing, you know?
Yeah. 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 So I know for me that I feel like parenting, it just teaches you so much about what it means to be human.
Yeah.
And that shapes all of our relationships and the ways we relate with people and the way we dignify people.
Yeah.
And that's just one of the gifts whenever we're in a parenting role with someone.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Dan, so much for sharing your journey with us. I just am so grateful that you're a part of our community. Yeah. And Tara and Carter, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, Kirsten and Dan. It's so nice to hear from a dad on Father's Day. The last few weeks, we've been hearing of the need to care for children. We've also been noting some of the metaphors of what it means to be in relationship with God, metaphors like childlikeness or to become like a child. hearing that perhaps being a Christian or growing as a Christian is best understood as growing small and growing young over long periods of time. I think specifically of Luke Knight's teaching last week, noting Luke chapter 18, verse 17, which says, "Unless you become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." So I want to talk just for a few minutes today about youthfulness or childlikeness. What is this youthful faith that we are called to receive and aspire to? Few like admitting signs of aging. Number one guy, I recently read a list. You know you're old when, and hey, this is maybe a poke on dads today, but you know you're old when you injure yourself while sleeping. Have you done that? You know you're old when people can tell your age by the way you sound when you try to get up from the couch. You use the word thingy all the time because you can't remember where things are or what things are called. People say you look great, but then add your age. You look great for people your age. You have to scroll down the like crazy in that drop-down menu for leaving your year of birth. I just did that recently, and it just went on and on and on. I felt old. Every time you pass a bathroom, you think, well, now that I'm here, maybe I'll go. And then, of course, you know, much to your surprise, you are the same age as old people. Yes, the signs of physical aging they're quite obvious. And of course, we take all strides to prolong those physical aging symptoms and signs. But today I want to talk to you, as I mentioned, about childlikeness in terms of your faith. And perhaps even a second question of what are we doing to prevent spiritual aging? A text we'll consider today is Psalm 103. I'll read it in a minute, but in this psalm includes, in verse 5, a sentence, and it's a promise or a possibility. And it says, "So that your youth is renewed like the eagles." This verse speaks of the promise of renewed youthfulness or renewed childlikeness. So that your youth is renewed. Historians would remind us that for centuries, the search all around the world for eternal youth or elongated life has been a frequent topic of various myths and legends. Examples of human breakthrough have included Alexander the Great, when searching for the fountain of youth in the 4th century BC, was said to have come across a healing river of paradise. It's thought that the Greek historian Herodotus in the 5th century BC wrote of a fountain of youth in the land of Macrobians, which gave the people of the region exceptionally long lifespans. Another occasion, King Prosper John claimed to rule a land that had a fountain of youth during the early Crusades of the 11th and 12th centuries AD. And even today, legends meet history at the Fountain of Youth Archaeological Park in St. Augustine, Florida, where thousands of visitors come each year to sample some sulfur-smelling water. And apparently there is a signed guest book that stretches back to 1868. The Fountain of Youth in Florida is thought to be the oldest attraction in the state of Florida. The Fountain of Youth, elongating our life. Based on all these legends, it's obvious that explorers and adventurers have long looked for the elusive fountain of youth, or at least some remedy for aging, some renewable source of life. Think about it. We still do this in one form or another almost every day. You and I make decisions every day to protect and extend our life. And even right now, as I speak, there's people heading to doctor's offices and even perhaps even to surgery rooms to repair and extend life. Recently, Julie and I celebrated our anniversary at Whistler, and we were brought with us a gift card for Scandinave Spa. And a whole beautiful place to experience. They promote hydrotherapy, which is a hot, cool, relaxed method to restore and rejuvenate your life. And I actually drank some herbal tea that on the descriptor on the wall, it promises life, just sort of eternal life, actually. I drank a lot of it that afternoon. Regardless, why do we go to such places to prioritize our health, body, soul, and spirit? They're not bad places to go. But we also need to lean into Scripture to talk about a holistic approach to health and longevity. And certainly at the center of that is a spiritual narrative. Again, what Psalm 103 says, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, obviously, every eagle has a lifespan. But here the psalmist is describing what an aging experience is for a child of God. And in our aging, there is a promise of renewal, not being consumed. I want to look at that very briefly. Psalm 103 says this. It shares a promise and two things that we are due to reverse aging in terms of our spiritual lives and narrative. This is what it says. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of our iniquity, who heals all of our diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Actions. Number one, bless the Lord. Youthfulness and spiritual childlikeness is preserved through the act of blessing the Lord. Blessing the Lord. Blessing the Lord. See, gratitude, all through Scripture, is a source of life all of its own. Nancy Lee DeMoss says, "Christian gratitude is recognizing and expressing the benefits we have received from God and others." Gratitude, thankfulness. How often do we take God for granted? How often do we doubt? How often do we carry burdens rather than blessing the Lord? In Romans chapter 1, it speaks of a time that people forgot to bless the Lord or praise the Lord. And it's worded this way, "For although they knew God, they never glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. They did not practice gratitude." They knew of God, but they did not practice gratitude in their relationship with God. They never gave thanks to God. And what happened? Their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. They lost their youthfulness. See, praise precedes youthfulness. Gratitude is a key. It's a renewable source of life, gratitude, blessing the Lord. A few weeks ago, we looked at the parable of Luke chapter 17 when Jesus spoke of 10 lepers who came to Jesus and were healed. And in verse 17 of chapter 17 of Luke, Jesus says, "Well, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Verse 19, "Then he said to the one that was full of gratitude, 'Rise and go, your faith has made you well.'" Faith tied to gratitude. Gratitude makes us well. It is a renewable source of life for a child of God. See, our key to youthful faith is gratitude. We are made whole when we bless the Lord, when we return to give thanks, when we put a name on our appreciation of what he has done for us and doing for us. For the leper, that is what made him well, gratitude. He returned because of an understanding of what Jesus had done. He was grateful. Coming to Jesus makes us well, and certainly coming to Jesus with gratitude, we benefit with a renewable source of life. The word well means to be preserved. So Jesus said, your faith has made you well. The word well means to be preserved. It means to be brought safely to the next place in our journey. New life because of gratitude. We cannot forget to be full of gratitude. Secondly, forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord. Number two, forget not all his benefits. And then he lists the five that we read. Don't forget and don't stop benefiting from the God who has, again, number one, forgives all our iniquity, behaviors, and activity that steals and robs and kills and steals joy. Jesus says, I'll forgive you of that. And you can be separated from sin that kills and destroys. Sustainable life is being forgiven by God, who heals all your diseases. This references a wholeness and healing that comes as we receive all that Christ has from us, and we don't forget about it once we've received it. It's a renewable source of life when he heals us and we remain in the context of not forgetting all that he has done for us over and over and over again. For his relationship with us is not a been there, done that. It is to be with us and to continue that work of healing. Who redeems your life from the past. Wow, regret can be a destroyer of life. And here God promises to tell a redemptive story every time through our lives. Wow, that's a source of renewable life, to think that our lives are in the process of finding a rhythm of a redemptive narrative that God brings and gifts us with. We need not ever forget all of that benefit. Fourthly, he crowns us with steadfast love and mercy. This leads to a place of honor, not by human definition, but by a godly definition within the kingdom of God that we've been studying in the Gospel of Luke. That's a renewable source of honor. Renewable source of life is the honor that God gives. And finally, he satisfies us with good. A beautiful word, good. He gives us good. A good tied to contentment. A renewable source of life is the good that God gives us, because that good leads to contentment, not frustration. So thankful, and we should never forget all of his benefits. So our practice should be to bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. Why? Here's the promise. As we see in the life of the leper, this preserves us, and it takes us safely on within our life and the destinations that God has for us. If we don't, what's the other side of the story? If we don't bless the Lord, and if we forget all his benefits, we're susceptible to all signs of poor spiritual aging. And those characteristics, I've made a few. Some might come to your mind. There is spiritual fatigue. There is apathy. There is lack of motivation. We become dismissive, impatient. We don't care about what we used to care about. We become careless as it relates to matters of sin and lawlessness. There's a lack of zeal, a lukewarmness, a decay and a decline. We become critical. There's judgment. There's anger. We wrestle. We're uncontent. We backslide far from God. We lose our first love. And these are just a few. Concerning qualities of aging in our spirituality in a way that leads not to life, but potentially even to death. So the psalm says, why? Why bless the Lord? And why remember all of his benefits? Psalm 103, verse 5, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The eagles. Eagles have lifespans. But what's interesting about the narrative of the eagle is what we learn from researchers around the world who have noted that the eagle is a long-lived bird of prey that can actually reach the age of 70 under certain conditions. But, this is the point, when the eagle reaches the age of 40 towards 70, the eagle has to make some very difficult decisions. Why? Because of the age in which the eagle is and the signs of aging. For a 40-year-old eagle, and again, this is from research I've done, you may know more, but from what I've read, by the age of 40, generally, the eagle's nails have become long and no longer flexible and cannot easily grab their prey or their food. Furthermore, their long and sharp beak would have become very curved so that it cannot protect itself from its prey. And finally, at the age of 40, the wings have become so heavy because feathers have become thick and attached to the breast, the eagle finds it difficult to fly. So not able to eat, not able to find protection, and not able to fly. So zoologists would suggest that the eagle is left with two options, either die or undergo a painful replacement process, which takes upwards to 150 days. What is the process? The process of replacement or renewing its age and sustainability, the process requires the eagle to fly to the top of a mountain and stay there for a considerable period of time. There, the eagle hits its beak against a rock until it breaks its beak so another one can grow back. Then he waits for his new beak to grow, then pulls his claws with his beak when his new claws grow out, and then he plucks his old feathers. And zoologists say that after 5 months, the eagle recovers and can live for another 40 years. So in one sense, comparing spiritual renewal with an eagle, some would say that there is also potentially a process of the soul that we must pay attention to and consider all the time. And again, the psalmist says what that is. The disciplines and the delight that comes with blessing the Lord and forgetting not all of his benefits. So in closing, I ask you, how childlike is your faith? And what are you doing to prevent spiritual aging so that your youth can be renewed like the eagle? What a beautiful example of an eagle that goes through a transformative process for the remainder of its life. So on this day, Psalm 103 calls us to a transformative process. Of course, not like the eagle. We draw example from the eagle, but just into our own personal lives and narrative. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, dads, on this Father's Day, families, singles, some of our youth, whatever you're facing today, perhaps you feel a little fatigued and discouraged. Perhaps you do feel spiritually tired and old. Perhaps you feel weary. I want to encourage you, don't give up and don't walk away on this day. Rather, turn around and meet Jesus in a new and a fresh way and benefit from the one who forgives, heals, redeems, crowns, and satisfies us with good. May I encourage you with faith today to bless the Lord and to forget not all of your benefits, for those benefits are our renewable source of life. So that as we grow young in our spiritual lives, we're able to grow small so that Jesus can be enlarged in our life and our testimony. Our prayer for each other perhaps today could be found in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 that says this, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." TJ Kim, one of our dads, is coming to close in prayer. And then Luke will share some final remarks.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank for the blessings you're having me to pray my brothers and sisters of this church. Today's a Father's Day, and what's meaning of a father to my life is undescribable, Father, indescribable, because this is beyond the word I can explain, because all those, each moment of my life, and then you really lead me and guide me, and you protect me. Father, that we believe all peoples in here, we have such a great experience from our, their own Father and the Heavenly Father. If some doesn't have that privileges, but Father, you are working on their lives too. So we all happy to have you as our Father. So we want to just a blessing back to you, the Father who has diligently working on our lives and make us, each one of us individuals here, we are becoming good person and good people and make a good family. Even as a church, we are good big family, Father. Thanks for the day and thanks for the Father of heart. You are such a amazing. And thanks for the all our congregations, because each one of you have blessings each other. And we are all blessed through each other because we are family and we have one Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, TJ, for that prayer. And thanks to Dan for sharing his story earlier. And we want to say happy Father's Day. Have a great rest of your week. And we look forward to next Sunday together for Baptism Sunday. And we'll see you around. Bye.